Bibles tonight, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 1 tonight, and we're going to look at creation and the different things God created. Then I'm going to give you some practical lessons from this chapter. And so if you find your place, stand with me as we read through here, and we're going to read the whole chapter, so hang in there with me as we read Genesis chapter 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser night to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, that the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great wells, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, that the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of the tree of yielding seed, and to you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word, God. What a blessing it was just to read this great chapter, God, and to see how that the earth and everything that we know came into existence, Lord. And I'm thankful, Lord, for your creative power. And Lord, I'm thankful that you spoke and it happened, Lord. Thank you for that. Now bless us tonight, God. Help us as we look into this chapter. Speak to our hearts. Lord, illuminate our mind with truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right, we're gonna kind of go through this and look at each day of creation and see the order God created it in, and kind of talk about a few aspects of it. And then, as I mentioned, I'll teach you some practical lessons from this chapter. All right, so first of all, we see on day one. Let's go there to verse 2. And it says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So when God began, okay, he began before he created anything as far as that was going to be on the earth. He created basically with a sphere of water, okay? And that's what it began with, okay? That's how God began to create the earth, was a sphere of water. And that's what it says. "And darkness was upon the face of the deep." Okay? And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. So, if you will, picture the basics, building block of a planet is a big sphere of water. By the way, that shouldn't surprise us. 75% of the of our Earth is covered by ocean. Okay, and water. If it wasn't for water, is the basic substance of all life. All right, and water is the one of the main necessities that that we got to have to live. So that's what God began with. All right, then the first thing God made, and by the way, this wasn't an accident, this was on purpose, was light. On day one, God made light. Look what it says there. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now I want you to think about something for a minute, all right? When God created light here, okay? By the way, you look on down, the sun wasn't created till the fourth day. So where do you think the light came from? Okay, I'll tell you where it came from. It came from himself, amen? That's where it came from, because God is light. And so God allowed his light to come and encompass this, take over, if you will, this this ball, this planet called Earth, okay? And so God's light is what started this whole thing, amen? The first day, light was created. And then we see the second day. And the second day, in verses 6 through 8, I'm not going to reread it all, but in verses 6 through 8 was the heavens. Okay, now, when it's talking about the heavens, there's different heavens the Bible talks about. Okay, there's what's known as the heavens, like when you go outside and you look up and you see like the atmosphere, that's the heavens. Then there's what's called as the firmament, which would be the heavens, which would be like space, if you will. Okay, and then there's the heavens that God dwells in. Okay, so when the Bible says that God's going to destroy, or he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, he's not talking about the heaven he lives in. He's not going to destroy the heaven he's in now. He's going to destroy what we know as the sky, as the atmosphere, as space, if you will. All that, God's going to recreate all that again one of these days. But on the second day, that's when he made the heavens. He set up the atmosphere. Now, before the flood, and we'll get to the flood because it's in Genesis, but when God originally made the earth, this is very interesting here, he surrounded the earth with a water canopy, okay? And the whole earth was surrounded by this giant canopy of water. And the Bible alludes to that also in the flood, because the Bible says the fountains of the deep, the great fountains of the deep, were broken up, and the firmament released its water, okay? So the earth was surrounded by this big water canopy. Now, there's a reason that God did it that way, okay? Remember one of the characteristics of the early civilization before flood, the pre-flood civilization, was that people lived to be a long time, didn't they? Okay? Who's the oldest person? Anyone want to remember and tell me? How about all these kiddos know who it was? Grace, I saw your hand first. Methuselah. And how old was he? You remember? Who knows how old Methuselah was? Jesse? 969. That's correct. The oldest man, okay, human being to live on the earth. Man had a greater lifespan before the flood. Part of that reason, okay, and I believe the main reason was because that's the way God wanted it to be, but part of that, what helped foster that type of environment was the canopy that surrounded the earth. Because this canopy, what it would do is it would filter out the dangerous rays of the sun, okay? By the way, y'all know the sun's rays are dangerous, right? Okay, if you don't think that's the case, just leave something out in the sun for a while and see what happens. The sun disintegrates it. Okay, because of the UV rays of the sun. I mean, if you don't think that's the case, it's starting to get warmer out. All right, what happens if you go out and you're exposed, your skin is exposed to the sun for long periods of time? All right, it's called sunburn, right? Because the sun's rays are dangerous. So that water canopy, it surrounded the earth and it would filter out the dangerous rays of the sun. Because of that, there were some amazing things that are pre-flood earth experience that we don't experience today. For example, there was a consistent temperature throughout the whole planet. Okay? The Arctic didn't exist before the flood. All right? By the way, let me just say this, and we haven't got there yet, but we will. But everything that science tries to say, evolution proves, the Great Flood explains it all, folks. if you just look at things through a biblical perspective, okay? And so there was a consistent temperature throughout the planet, a tropical-type climate, all right? Could you imagine anywhere you went on Earth, it was probably a very comfortable 72 to 78 degrees all the time? Wouldn't that be awesome, right? Okay? But that's the way the Earth was. There was no rain. Okay, and remember in Noah's day, when Noah was preaching about this great flood, talking about rain, they're like, rain? What's rain? We don't know what rain is. Because God, the Bible says, He watered the planet with a dew or a heavy mist to water the vegetation. That was God's plan of how He took care of it before there was rain. There was very consistent weather. Okay? It was a very pleasant climate. By the way, why would it not be, right? Because when God created all this, it was without the effects of sin, and everything was perfect. By the way, I believe when we study what Eden was like and the earth was like before the flood, I believe that's the way the new earth's going to be when God remakes it one of these days, all right? And I believe that's exactly the way it's going to be. By the way, I also believe it's going to be that way during the millennial reign of Christ when He's here. You know why? Because the sin curses are lifted. That's why. Okay? And everything we have today as far as violent weather and all these natural disasters is what man calls them, they're all a result of sin, folks. Okay? In fact, the Bible tells us that creation is groaning to be delivered. Did you know that? The earth is groaning because the earth doesn't like being under the curse of sin any more than we as human beings like being under the curse of sin. Okay? Now, I'm not one of these crazy wacko environmentalists, all right? And if you worship the earth, then I walk on your mama, amen? Or if you worship Mother Nature, I walk on your mama. That's the saying, okay? I'm not one of these wacky, crazy environmentalists. God gave His things on earth for man to use, okay? I believe that. But I also believe we've got to be good stewards of what God gives us, amen? But let me say this. Creation is groaning to be delivered. The book of Romans tells us that. In fact, just this week, if you do a search, you'll find some of this stuff. There is these unexplained noises that happen on different parts of this planet. That, you know what, that there's no explanation for them. Some people call them just different noises that are heard. Sometimes it's a humming sound. The one I listened to this week, actually it was filmed in Hawaii. And it was a sound, it was a bizarre sound. Almost sounded like trumpets sounding in the distance. And listen, there's no explanation for it. No human explanation for what's going on. But I believe there's a Bible explanation for it. What is that? I believe creation is groaning to be delivered. Okay? And by the way, God's going to deliver it. Okay? That's what the tribulation, part of the tribulation period is about. It's God's going to redeem the earth that is under the control of Satan right now. Okay? Remember the Bible says that the devil is the prince and power of the what? The air, right? And when man sinned, part of the consequence of that sin was turning over managing the earth to Satan. Okay, and now he's the prince and power of the air, and God's going to deliver it one of these days at the tribulation period. That's one of the purposes of it, by the way, all right? And so God created the heavens on the second day, and this water canopy surrounded the flood. By the way, do you know that there's an estimated 54,460,000,000,000 tons of water vapor right now in the atmosphere? Okay? I mean, our atmosphere is still loaded with water, okay? And so that's the way God created for it to be. So the first day was light. The second day, heavens. The third day, all right, God, verse 9 through 13, God allowed the dry land to separate and for the dry land to appear, or the earth itself to appear. Now, the body of water was there, light was there, the heavens was there. Now God allowed the earth to come about. Okay? And if you read verses 9 through 13, you see that there were trees and grass and vegetation, and now life is created. But think about this. Life wasn't just created in and of itself, but God put within that life the seed to perpetuate itself and to spread throughout the planet. That's very interesting here. Did you notice as we were reading through there, that, and we'll talk about this in a minute, but the two particular things God said about the animal and the plant life, that they were created after their kind, and they were created their seed within themselves. All right? By the way, we get that, right? We understand that. That plants reproduce plants, right? Okay? Animals reproduce animals, right? And human beings reproduce human beings. Okay? Listen, that was God's plan. And so when God made the earth here, he allowed the dry land to appear. And again, the Bible talks about this. There's a verse here in Genesis that talks about there's a man named Peleg, and within his days, it talks about that the earth was divided. Okay, here's what most scientific creationists believe, all right, and I think the Bible alludes to this, is that when God made the earth, we did not have the seven continents that we have today. It was one big landmass. It was known as the Pangaea, that's what they call it, okay? And it was the result of the flood that separated the continents. They drifted apart into what we know as today as our seven continents, okay? But pre-flood, they were one major landmass. And by the way, science, true science, not this false science, actually backs that up. Okay, and it was because of that, the result of the flood and the seismic shift of the crust of the earth because of what happened that they separated into what they were today. Okay, but when God made it, he made all the dry land to appear and everything there on the dry land. That was the third day. Then look at verses 14 through 19. Again, we don't have time to read them all, but we see in these verses, then God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? By the way, again, the sun wasn't the source of the light God put on the earth on day one. He was the source of that light. Okay? And by the way, you know one of these days in heaven, there's going to be no sun? You know why? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, the glory of God is the light of it. Amen? God's glory is what lightens it. Well, there's no need of the sun anymore. All right? But on day four, God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. Okay? By the way, those of you who went with us to the Creation Museum and you watched that show that we watched called The Created Cosmos. I mean, folks, listen. What God made in five words. I believe it's five words, all right? And he made the stars also. Five words, okay? Is unbelievable. We don't even have a number to number how many stars there are in the galaxy. Okay? In the universe, in the cosmos. I mean, folks, listen. We are so small compared to God's power, but yet he still loves us anyway. Amen? And that's amazing to me. But God made on this day, he made the sun, he made the moon, and the stars. Okay? The greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. Okay? It's what he talks about, the sun and the moon. And by the way, here's also where time became invented at, because it says here they were given to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And it also talks about they were for signs and for seasons. All right, verse 14, okay? And let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So that's how time was created, when God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, all right? And that makes sense to us, right? Because we measure time in periods of days, all right? Minutes, hours, seconds. All that is a result of what the sun is what the sun and the moon does, right? I mean, that's how we know whether it's daytime and the certain amount of hours in the day and all that. It's all based upon the cycle of the sun, okay? And or how it affects us there with the there in the heavens. Now, I'm not an astronomer. I don't understand all the different aspects of everything, and I don't know all the science behind it. I know a little bit, but all that to say, it's from the sun and the moon and even the stars for navigation and things like that that people back in those days were able to navigate and all those types of things, okay? And so God made all that on the fourth day. And then look here, verses 20 through 23. On the fifth day, God made the fish and the fowl, okay? Now, this is pretty interesting. There's a reason he made the fish and the fowl on the fifth day, because two types of life that have a lot in common, all right, are both fish and birds. Both have streamlined forms to move swiftly through their habitats. Both have hollow, light bones. Both have migratory instincts. And both reproduce by laying eggs. It's interesting, isn't it? By the way, everything God did, he did on purpose. Okay? God never makes a mistake, ever. And everything was done for a reason, for a specific way. And so on the fifth day, God created the fish and the fowl. And then on the sixth day, all right, God made the land animals and he made man. Okay, look there in verse 24. All right? And let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind. Cattle, creeping thing, beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Now, once God made the land animals, then he also made man on the sixth day. Now, it's interesting here that God gave land animals a threefold classification. All right? It says here, beast. What's that referring to? Wild animals. All right? Now, I believe before the sin curse happened, even though they were technically wild animals, they did not have the instincts that they had after the fall. All right? Because, for example, Adam had to name these animals, right? Okay? And so that was part of his job God gave him. And unless he could get near him and study him and probably touch him, how is he going to know how to name him, right? Okay? And so there's the beast, there's the cattle. We would call those four-footed domestic animals. And then there was the creeping things, creatures that move along the ground. All right? God made those on the sixth day. And then also, God made man also on the sixth day. Now, we've talked a little bit about this before, but it's worth mentioning again. When God made man after his image and his likeness. That's the only creation out of everything God created that was made in God's image after his likeness. And God gifted humanity with something he didn't gift any other thing with. You know what that is? A living soul. And man became a living soul. I want you to think about this, all right? And we mentioned this on our Sunday night Bible study when we were studying about made in the image of God. But literally, man is the only creation whose God lips touched and breathed into man a living soul, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And let me tell you, folks, that is what separates us from all of God's other creation. Amen? By the way, that's what makes man eternal. Okay? Animal life isn't eternal. Now, I know all you kiddos have got your favorite doggies and kitties, and, you know, when you bury them in the yard, you think you're going to see them in heaven one of these days. I hate to tell you, ain't happening, all right? Now, there's going to be animals there, but we know there's going to be horses. The Bible talks about that, all right? And the Bible talks about during that time, during the millennium, that the animals, that they'll be tame. That they won't be wild anymore, and you're going to have your fun with animals, all right? I promise you. But the ones you have now aren't going to be the ones there with you. Why is that? Why? Because animals don't have a living soul. Man does, okay? And when God made man, he made him in a threefold way. First of all, we have our body, right, which is the seat of our senses. Then he made us a soul, which is the seat of our emotions, our desires, and our affections. And then God made us with a spirit, and that's the part of man that makes him conscious of God. All right? And just like God is a triune being, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, man also is a triune being, your body, soul, and spirit. And again, we won't reteach all those things because I taught them back a few weeks ago. All right? But notice here, I want you to see here that man differs in comparison to the animals, okay? Even though they're made on the same day, and even though we all breathe the same air, there's quite a bit of difference between an animal and a human being. Now, the problem with this garbage of evolution is that they're teaching our kids that they evolved from monkeys. By the way, why should it surprise us when our kids are acting like animals when they're taught that's where they came from? Okay? By the way, man did not evolve from anything. We came directly from God. All right? And even today, and I understand the biological process of children and how they get here. Okay? Obviously, I have four of them. All right? But understand this. Even in the womb of a mother, all right, God has his hands involved in forming a child. Okay, the Bible tells us that. Jeremiah, the prophet, he said, talks about how that when he was in his mother's belly, he formed him and he ordained him to be a prophet to the nations. You know what that tells us, folks? That every single human being is on this planet for a reason and for a purpose. Now, you know what? Unfortunately, a lot of those people don't find their purpose because they don't find God. And by the way, you'll never find your purpose apart from God. It doesn't mean you may not do some things, you may not accomplish some things, but your true purpose will never be found outside of God in our lives. Amen? But man stands alone. How is it he stands alone in comparison to the animals? Well, physically, man walks upright. Okay? We walk different than the animals walk. Now, I guess technically a grizzly bear sometimes walks on two, right? Maybe a gorilla or an ape, all right? But as far as our main mode, we're an upright animal. We're made to walk upright. Mentally, we alone have the ability to communicate in a sophisticated manner. Now, I know that could be debatable sometimes, moms, when you're talking to your kids, all right? You're asking them a question, you know, sometimes kids grunt, all right, instead of answering, right? But man is capable of communicating in a sophisticated manner. Spiritually, man has the capacity to know the mind and will of God. Now, let me just say this, all right? As a human being, and I mentioned this before, but don't use your humanity as an excuse for failure. Too many people, well, I'm just, you know, it's almost like it's our justification when we do wrong. Well, I'm only human. Well, do you realize what being a human being means? It means you're created in the image of God, amen? It means God's gifted you with things He's gifted none of His other creation with. So don't use your humanity as an excuse to fail. Use it as a reason to succeed and be everything God wants us to be, amen? So that's what God made in those 6 days. Now, I know I hurried through them, and I kind of whizzed through them pretty fast. But let me give you some basic principles taught by these first 6 days of creation, okay? First of all, and I mentioned this, I think, the last time we talked in Genesis, but I want you to notice the very first doctrine that's taught in the Bible, and that would be found in verse 4. All right, verse 4, and that is the doctrine of separation. Notice what it says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Okay, from the very beginning, within the first day of creation, a Bible doctrine appears, and that's the doctrine of separation. Okay, God said there needs to be a divide from the light and from the darkness. Let me just say this. As Christians, it shouldn't surprise us in Matthew chapter 5 that God likens us to light. Right? Isn't that what it says? I think I got the verse written down here. It says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it to my dying breath, but there ought to be a difference between the Christians and the world. There ought to be a difference. People ought to look at you and know there's something different about you. I'm not talking about being weird, all right? I'm not talking about walking around in a brown robe, taking a vow of silence. Listen, that's not what God intended for us to be, okay? All I'm saying is this, there's a difference between Christianity and worldliness, amen? There ought to be. It's called separation. It's a principle all the way established, all the way in the book of Genesis, the division between light and darkness. What else do we see? Well, as we study the creation story, we see that the false theory of evolution is exposed. Did you hear what I said? The false theory of evolution. Remember something, folks. Creation was an act of God. By the way, how was it achieved? By the very Word of God. Remember what I taught you last time? And God said, and it was so. Right? And God said, and it was so. Let me just say this. The Word of God has creative power. You also know the Word of God has destructive power. Do you know that? In fact, one of these days at the Battle of Armageddon, when King Jesus comes back to Armageddon, by the way, all the armies of the earth are going to be gathered there in that great valley to speak or to try to fight against Jesus. How stupid is that, by the way? All right? Like you're going to be able to stop God. And all you know what all he does? The Bible says He destroys them by the word of His mouth. He speaks, and literally their flesh melts off their bones. That's the power of the Word of God. Amen? And so listen, the worlds were created by the Word of God. God took nothing and created something. Only God can do that. All right? And God spoke everything into existence. And so here's the thing. Evolution is destroyed by the creation theory. The creation story. Okay? By the way, did you realize evolution, the theory of evolution, by the way, that's what it is, a theory, right? Didn't really come about until Charles Darwin came out with the book, The Origin of Species. That's when it even started even becoming an issue. I mean, back then it was just understood, for the most part, that God created the world. I mean, there was no other explanation for it, okay? Do you realize in Charles Darwin's book, The Origin of Species, do you know what phrase is mentioned over 800 times? Here's the phrase, "we may well suppose." Really? You're going to base everything that you believe about God on the phrase, "we may well suppose"? And by the way, you realize that Darwin on his deathbed denounced his theory of evolution, but it was too late. It was too late. And now it's so infiltrated our society, you can't even pick up a kid's coloring book. You can't even watch a kid's cartoon without seeing millions and billions. Yep. Let me tell you, folks, it's a lie. Okay, and they're trying to feed that to our kids, trying to brainwash our kids, all right, into believing this false theory of evolution. By the way, that's exactly what it is. It's a false theory. Okay? And where did it all come from? It came from God. Remember the illustration I gave you last time? What points to the fact that there's a God? Art, design, and order. Right? I mean, you don't look at a painting and say, wow, you know, that's a cool painting. It just came from nothing. I mean, one day the collars just decided to jump off of the paint thing and onto the canvas, and they formed that awesome painting, right? If you said that to somebody, they're going to look at you like you're loco, okay? But you know what? I look at people like they're loco when they start talking about evolution, okay? Design, okay? For example, this shirt I'm wearing tonight, all right? This shirt, I mean, the tractor didn't drive by the cotton field or whatever this thing's made out of, polyester, whatever, and all of a sudden the shirt jumped out of the field onto the tractor into a box folded to the store shelf. That's not how it worked. Somebody had to cultivate the material to make the shirt. Someone had to put it into a textile form in a machine. Someone had to design the designs, the lines, the collars. Somebody had to design it, right? Someone had to put it together. Duh. It makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, order. All right, for example, I mean, these chairs you're sitting in tonight, I mean, they didn't just randomly appear here. I mean, you know, there was a big explosion, and these chairs randomly appeared, setting five on this side, four on this side, you know, however many rows there are. No. Okay, there was an orderer. Okay, it was called Elias and Jeremiah. Amen. They were the orderer. All right, I gave the orders. They did what I said. They put them where they were supposed to be at. Okay. No, listen, that makes sense, right? So if all that stuff makes sense with minute things like chairs, a painting, and my shirt, why would it not make sense with something so complex as a human body in the universe? Okay, come on, folks. It takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. More faith, okay? I mean, to think that something appeared from nothing, listen, the only way that can happen was a direct action of God Almighty. Amen? And that's exactly where it came from. And then we also see here, and I mentioned this earlier, but God created plant and animal life to produce after their kind. Okay? Listen, you're never going to plant corn and get beans, ever. Okay? You're never going to put an apple seed tree in the ground and get a cherry tree. Ain't going to happen. You put apples in the ground, apple seed, guess what's going to grow from it? Apples are. All right, just makes sense. That's the way God created for it to be. And that's the problem with evolution. They're still looking for the missing link. The link between apes and humans. Well, I hate to tell you, they can keep looking all they want. They're never going to find it. Because there is no missing link. Amen? I mean, and that's how evolutionists, you know, that's their big argument. What they call transitional fossils. How did this animal transition, evolve into this animal? By the way, here's another thing for evolutionists. Why did everything stop evolving? Right? I mean, if it supposedly evolved over millions and billions of years, why did we automatically stop? Listen, folks, it makes no sense whatsoever. Everything produces after its own kind. By the way, you know God expects us as Christians to produce after our own kind. You know that's why it's important that we get out there and reach people for Jesus Christ, because Christians are supposed to reproduce Christians. Amen? All right. Not only that, we learn that creation took place in a 6-day, 24-hour per day period. Notice, after every day of creation, the Bible says the evening and the morning were the first day. By the way, notice how God classifies the day. Not the morning and the evening the way we do. You know how God classifies it? The evening and the morning were the first day. Okay, did you ever think about that? The evening and the morning were the first day? Why does God classify it opposite of how we do? I'll tell you what I believe about that. I believe the reason is because a successful day starts before that. Preparation, planning. Okay? And when God designed it, He designed the evening and the morning. But after every day of creation, you see it said, the evening and the morning were the first day. You know what this destroys? The false theory of theistic evolution. What's that mean? Okay? It means this, that they believe, there's a theory out there that believes that God started the evolution process, but then evolution took over and it was millions and billions. No, that's not how it worked. It's not theistic evolution. It is God creating everything. Okay, listen, no part of evolution's right, okay? The only big bang that happened is when God spoke and bang, it happened, amen? So if you want to believe in a big bang, that's it, all right? And so we see that creation took place 6 days, 24-hour day periods, okay? And then we see that creation, the creation of man, was a specific act of God, all right, not the evolution of other creations over a long period of time. God specifically, by the way, think about this for a minute. Everything else, God spoke into existence, right? He didn't speak us into existence. He literally formed man with his own hands from the dust of the ground. That tells you how important we are to God, amen? So by the way, next time you think nobody loves you, nobody cares about you, think again. You got a God who loves you and cares about you, amen? So God, the creation of man was a specific act of God. And then last of all, creation is the proof of the existence of God. By the way, let me give you a couple of verses here. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof." You know what God is saying? He says every time you go out and you look up in the night sky and see stars, you know what those stars are telling mankind? Hello, there's a God. Hello, he's real. Every time you see the sun come up and you see the sunset, you know what the message is? It's screaming, hello, there's someone that put me here. Hello, there's a God who made everything. That's what nature does. It speaks to God. Amen. And that's what, by the way, the Bible says there's no language where their voice is not heard. Universal language of creation. Even the person that lives in the deepest, darkest jungles of the Amazon or some Congo place in Africa somewhere who's never had a missionary tell them the gospel, they can still, there's enough gospel by looking out into the heavens to understand that there's a God.
Praise the Lord.
Now, I'm not saying that they're automatically saved just because they understand there's a God. But I do. But they do have, there's a knowledge, there's something that says to them. By the way, did you ever think about this before? People who have never had any exposure to the Bible still know that certain things are wrong. You know these deepest, darkest jungles of these people who've never been exposed to the gospel? I mean, people who speak languages where there's no actual written language to speak, to communicate, those type. By the way, there's still people on earth like that, okay? You know they still know that's wrong to steal? They still know that it's wrong to take your neighbor's wife. They still know that certain... Where did that come from? It's built in, folks. Okay? Because of God. And because when they look around, there's evidence of a creator. Amen? Now let me tell you what I believe. I believe that people who have a desire for God, I believe God orchestrates ways for them to hear the gospel. I believe that. Now, it hinges upon whether or not a Christian is obedient enough to get the gospel to them. Okay, but I do believe that God, people who are seeking after him, God will try to find a way to get them the gospel. Why? Because he's a merciful God. Amen? And I believe that. So, all that from Genesis chapter 1. Now, let me just say this. We just scratched the surface, all right? And this is not going to be a super in-depth verse-by-verse study, all right? We don't have time for that. But I am going to try to give you an overview of different things as we go through this book and teach you different lessons, amen? But I hope you take from tonight the fact that we have an amazing, powerful, wonderful God, amen?
Amen.
And that's where we came from. We came from him. And you are a direct creation of God Almighty. Okay, mankind is, our earth is, our planets, everything we know is. And even every human being, you are who you are because that's who God formed you to be. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Lord,